Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come around your word, Lord, and we thank you that your word's powerful. And Father, we give your word its rightful place. We give it authority this morning to equip and to challenge and to change each of our hearts, Lord. And Father, we even speak to the atmosphere. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here, and you're welcome here to just to minister to people, Father. And I pray that people won't hear my words, but rather they'll hear your voice speaking to them and in their walk and their relationship with you. And no person would leave the same way that they came, but rather they will say, I've had an encounter with a living, breathing, real, tangible Father, Lord. And we pray and we welcome you here this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can freely come around your word. We thank you that there's no obstacles about around us coming around your word this morning. And Father, we thank you that as we take time out of our day, we would have an encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, team. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get into the word. So this morning, Trev and Sam, they're ministering in Orange at Colour City Church. I know they had a men's breakfast yesterday morning that Trev was ministering at, and Trev's preaching this morning there. So they're both up in Orange this weekend. In a Monday week, so Monday the 13th is the day that the work is going to start between the hall and the kitchen. So between the hall and the kitchen, there's work going on there, and Fid's going to be leading that managing that project. But if you're available and you're around on Monday the 13th, there's a bit of demolition and prep work that they'd like to have done. Trev and Fit are going to be here, and anyone else that can come, just show up at 9 a.m. and head in there, and you can help them do a bit of demolition work. As I'm talking about demolition work, I've got this vision in my head of, I'll get it out eventually. I've got this vision in my head of Fid doing, he must have been on Facebook, one of his kids must have put a video where he was breaking something. So, and there's always some satisfaction when you have to do some demolition work. So if you just want to have a bit of fun and get a bit of satisfaction, come along on the 13th at 9 a.m. and you can help them out there this morning. And then the work will just be able to continue on, which Fid's going to be managing, which is fantastic. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. So Sunday, Mother's Day. So all the mums in the house, we're going to celebrate you next Monday. We've got a fantastic Sunday prepared, and there's going to be a nice morning tea organised, and it's a day where we can celebrate our mums. But if you've got a mum that lives next door to you, across the road, or you know a mum, or you've just got someone that you're thinking of, I'd really encourage you to invite them along and let them come along and engage in our service, but also just engage in our fellowship afterwards. And it's going to be a fantastic morning of celebrating all of our mums. And I think the final announcement is probably the most important one. Not two to go. The most important one today is the bookshop. The bookshop is a fantastic resource that we've got. And Glenys has asked me a couple of Sundays in a row, so I'm really going to pump them up this Sunday because I didn't do it last Sunday. But if you've got some Mother's Day gifts that you would like to get, I know that the bookshop has got everything that you would like or need, anything that a mum would like or need. So head on in there. I know Glenys has got it opened after church occasionally. And head in there and support the bookshop. And then the last announcement is on May 18th is our election day. But probably more important than our election day, it's Warnsey's 70th birthday celebration. So on that day, it's an open invitation to anyone that would like to attend. It's midday at the Murphy's. So if you just remember M&M, midday at the Murphy's, you won't figure it on Saturday the 18th. You think I'd know my days by now. Saturday the 18th, midday at the Murphy's, is Warnsey's 70th, and you're all invited. If you're intending on coming, can you please have a conversation with Glenys so that she can make sure that catering is all organised. Fantastic. Well, it's real incredible privilege and honour, as it always is, to share the word this morning. And this morning I've only got a really simple message, and it's just something that I've been reflecting on even this week, and possibly even since Easter Sunday. It's just I've been reflecting upon Jesus and what he has actually done for each of us on an individual level. And this morning I've just been praying this week and praying that God would help me and praying that he would help me to deliver a message with clarity and with honour, but also with respect that the word is due. So this morning, as we come together and we just remember all that God's done for us, and that's why I enjoyed Nick's message around the communion time. He's just talking about how he just, that visual representation of how it's because of what he's done on the cross that he washes each of us. And it's just those things. Well, his word actually says this. It says, "For God so loved the world." And we all know this verse. Like, I think it must be Scripture Teacher 101, this verse. We all know it. And I reckon anyone who's gone to any scripture, it doesn't matter how young you are, you've learnt this verse and you've memorized this verse. And it actually says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, it's the gift that we've been given. But then if you go on and you continue to read on further, it actually says this in the next verse. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so Jesus didn't come with this heart of condemnation. He actually came with a heart of grace and love, and he came with the objective of drawing all men unto himself. And you know, and today as we just reflect upon the very person and the very character of Jesus, like a few short weeks ago we considered the life of Jesus at our Easter service. Well, the fact is Jesus became flesh. He left his dwelling place in heaven and came and clothed himself in humanity. And for a span of a few short years, he walked. And as I look at the Word of God, and as I look at the life of Jesus, is that he walked amongst us. But his gaze never left the cross. And the writer of Hebrews, he would say this. He would say that it was for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so the title of my message, as you can see, is "The Joy." The joy. We have so much to be joyful for, so much to be grateful for. But as I look at the cross and the journey to the cross and all that actually is symbolic of, is I actually see no joy. I can see no joy in the mock trial. I can see no joy in humanity choosing a known criminal of the day, Barabbas, over the Savior of the world. I can't see any joy in that. I can't see any joy in a crown of thorns being thrust upon his head. I can't see any joy there. I can't see any joy as his beard was plucked and pulled. I can't see any joy as 39 whips were lashed across his back. I can't see any joy in Jesus carrying his cross through the streets, the very streets where he was healing people and freeing people and making sick people whole and delivering them. I can see no joy in that. I can see no joy as he walked up on that hill to Golgotha. I can see no joy as he was stripped and those around him would cast away his garments, and I can see no joy in those nails being pierced in his hands. I can see no joy in any of that. I can see no joy in a spear going through his side, but yet it says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." I spoke about this on Easter morning, and I can just imagine that on that hill that day, there probably would have been some joy from some people, some religious people who are saying, "Yes, we are actually getting rid of this person once and for all. He won't blaspheme anymore." I'm sure the vast majority of the crowd on that hill, they were full of joy. And then as he cried those words, "It is finished," a I'm so grateful he said, it is finished. And we spoke about that on Easter morning. You see, it wasn't a cry of defeat, but rather a cry of victory because he'd accomplished everything that the Father had set before him. See, there was so much joy on that hill as he breathed his last breath that we would be able to encounter him. You see, it was a minority on that hill that day. There was an absence of joy. Their hearts were broken. There were men that had sowed 3 years of their life into this mission, into this purpose, and into this band by the name of Jesus, and here they are right now. Probably shattered, broken dreams, broken promises. As Jesus, as his mum Mary, who I'm sure was remembering 34 years earlier where she'd had this angelic visitation as a young lady, and the angel said, Mary, you've been chosen, you're going to be impregnated by the Spirit of God. You're going to bring forth a son and you're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. You see, I can imagine Mary in this place of confusion. 34 years later, here she is watching her son, his life taken. But we know in reality that his life wasn't taken, but rather his life was given. They experienced the wonder and the power and the grace of God on that day. It doesn't make sense. And yet, here he is on this cross. I can see no joy in the journey to the cross, but this morning, some 2,000 odd years later, I can actually see the joy. I can see the joy because I've been a recipient and we've been a recipient of everything that was accomplished on the cross. And for the joy that was set before him. So you and I, we receive this unspeakable joy in our lives that we can no longer be burdened with our past, with our sin nature. I'm so grateful for the cross. I'm so grateful that he endured all of that because there's a joy that you and I would one day, humanity would one day be in divine relationship with him. I'm so grateful for the cross. And this morning I actually want to let you know a few reasons why I'm grateful for the cross. And then I want to share an analogy. And then we're going to wrap up and you can go and have a coffee. Stick around and catch up. For some fellowship. The first thing that I'm grateful for when considering the cross is that Jesus' death just wasn't an act of love. It actually defines love. If you want to know what love looks like, just have a look at the cross. It's not just an act of love that he started to pour out his love. This is the definition of love, and Jesus now calls each and every one of us into this life lying down. The Bible would say that the world would know we are his disciples by the love that we have for each other. It just wasn't an act of love, it defined love. I'm grateful this morning that Jesus' death is on my behalf, or on our behalf. You see, our penalty was death. That's our penalty, but Jesus has taken that upon himself. He took death upon himself so that you and I could have life and life abundant. I'm grateful this morning that my punishment should have been eternal separation with God, but now his very presence is inside of us and we have a future hope of eternity. I'm grateful for this morning, that Jesus' death purchased a people. Is that Jesus' death did not make a way for the possibility of salvation for this select few, or he didn't purchase those, just those people. No, it's the opportunity that we would all be saved. And so salvation was not just for them, but he purchased the people back. He purchased all of creation back unto himself. So I'm grateful for that. is that Jesus defeated sin. God so loved you and I that while we were yet sinners, He would die for us. I'm grateful for that. I'm so glad that He had eyes for the cross. And finally, as Jesus' death, it reconciled you and I to God. You and I were once separated, but now we're joined together. It places His Spirit inside of us. It's this morning I was once lost, but because of the cross I'm now found. You see, you were once lost, but because of the cross, you are now found. So the today is Jesus has purchased you. He's made you whole. He's placed a joy inside of you this morning. And the reason I give those analogies is because Jesus, is throughout His life, His eyes were focused on the cross. They were focused on the end point, the end game, what was going to be achieved through His life. And this morning I'm going to use an analogy, and you've probably seen this analogy before. I've just got to grab something. I'm going to use an analogy this morning, and I'm hoping it makes sense. Is that this ribbon here, I was trying to get Mikey to make it so that it could come over and sit with me for a little bit. You see, this ribbon here, God was so focused on the end game. This ribbon here, it's symbolic of our life, our natural life and our spiritual life. And this part, this component here is our natural life. And then this part is our spiritual life. And that just goes on for all eternity. And God was so focused on the end game of where what would be accomplished, not just through this part, but through this part. And so this morning it was the joy that was before Him that He endured the cross. And this morning I've just got a few thoughts, a few ideas, a few thoughts around this morning. You see, it's the joy that awaits us. It's this eternal joy. Is that Jesus came not just for the now. He came to set us free now, but for all eternity. And like, if you just imagine that, that just goes on forever, forever, and ever, and ever. That's our eternity. I don't think sometimes we grasp how big eternity is. It's like we go, that's an eternity. That's forever. I want you to imagine that. This is your timeline. This is your life. You might be here. You might be here. You might be here. It doesn't matter where you are in your natural existence. The eternity aspect is it's your, both your existence on earth and the part that's also in heaven, in eternity. And as you imagine that for a moment, you know, my Bible, it says this, that life does not end after this natural body would decay. You know, as I die and breathe my last breath, is that there is an eternity. And the Bible is so clear about this, is that there's two places that we will go after we breathe our last. But that's not my opinion. It's the Bible. You see, there's this place called heaven, which is eternally you and I being in the presence of God. And on the contrary, there's this place called hell. It's where that you and I would be in eternal separation. You know, and when I read through my Bible, I find it kind of interesting. Is that Jesus speaks more about hell than He does about heaven. If you read your Bible, Jesus speaks more about hell than He does about heaven. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, why? Why does He do that? Why would the Savior of the world place an emphasis on hell? Because He doesn't want you and I or anyone to go there. He doesn't want humanity to find themselves there. He came in love, but he came full of truth and grace, and you cannot love without the truth. And so Jesus here is, he's setting up eternity. You see, there's a decision that every person he creates will have to make. And based upon that decision and the pursuit of that decision, it actually predicts where our eternity is. Where we're either going to go is either a place of eternal communion, or in the presence of God, or unfortunately the absence of God. It's why I have this great joy within me. You see, my actions in this part of my life, this little part, they actually determine where you and I will spend the rest of our life. Is that God has placed eternity in our hearts. You cannot remove what God has placed inside of you. You can try to ignore it. You can empty it. But he's actually placed eternity in your hearts. And you and I have a dwelling place after we breathe our last. And so this morning I want to look at a passage of Scripture in Philippians 3. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Philippians 3. And a guy by the name of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, would write through this passage. And he gives us a glimpse. And he gives us a focus of how to live in this part of our life. So this morning, the joy that awaits before us, I want to talk about how to live in this aspect of our life, because that determines the rest. We look at this passage of Scripture in Philippians 3, beginning at verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And skip over to verse 17. "And brethren, join in following my example, and know those who so walk, as you have asked for a pattern for many whom I have told you often. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven." You see, in here, this passage of Scripture, Paul uses the analogy of a runner. And this runner is reaching for a prize. Now, I'm not much of a runner, but I always think about at primary school, your 100-meter running race. We can all think back to that because we've probably all been involved in that, some better than others, and I'm probably in the others component. I wasn't that great of a runner. But we can always think about that. He's saying he's running for a prize. He's running for a destination, and he uses this word over and over again, and he uses this imagery. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pressing on to obtain this prize which awaits. So I want to drill down on some verses this morning, and we'll start in verse 12. "Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me." Amazing words. And as I was sitting and reflecting on what I was going to preach this morning, I got this analogy. You know, our hope in Jesus is not based on our grip on him, but on his grip of us. You see, our hope in Jesus is not determined by our grip on him, but rather it's determined by his grip on us. You see, there's been times in my journey where I've actually lost grip of Jesus. I've lost grip. As things around my life got involved in whatever was going on, and the mess of this, and then God didn't come through in this way, or whatever it was, and at times I've lost my grip. And maybe you're like that this morning. But then I came to this realization that Jesus actually never lost grip of me. Parents, do you remember, you know, like you walk, like Mikey and I, we walked here this morning. And I remember as a kid, you know, like whether it be mom or dad or whoever it was, you'd be walking along and they'd say, hold my hand across the road. You know, most parents do that. Hold my hand. Got a bit harder when there was five kids, I imagine, for mum and dad, but it'd be like, hold my hand as we cross the road. And what I came to the realization is that it wasn't actually my grip that determined my safety. It was actually whether it be my mum or my dad's grip on me. Their grip on me was tighter than my grip on them. You know, like mum or dad, whoever it was, probably didn't trust us. Like I even know this morning, I'm walking across the road with Mikey and I'm holding his hand and I'm holding tighter than him. It's the same when it comes with God, is that He's got His grip tight on us. And we at times think we've lost grip of Him, but He's actually never lost grip of us. It's all going to be okay because He's got this grip on us and He keeps us safe, protecting, walking, and keeps us in this place of freedom. And I remember growing up, another activity that we would do sometimes in our household is like, I don't know why, you know how sometimes you might play that game where when you shake hands. I remember doing this with Mark Warren. I'd be a kid and you'd shake Mark Warren's hand. We'd go around, you'd sing three songs and then you'd say, come on around, we're going to shake hands. And you'd walk around. You always knew when you got to Mark Warren that it was going to be a challenge. Because he was going to shake your hand. But he was going to try and shake it as hard as you could and you're going to go as hard as you could. And then you're going to see who gave way first. So it's like this whole, who's going to lose grip first? It's like that whole challenge of how macho am I today? Oh gosh, it's killing me, Mark. Come on, I've got to try and beat you. Never once did I beat Mark. It was never my grip that determined that. It was always his grip. His grip was stronger than my grip. And it didn't matter what I did. You'd never win. You know, Mark was a bit of a vice grip. Like, he'd just grab hold of you and he'd squeeze until you come to that place of surrender. I surrender. And it's like that game that you'd play. So as I even consider that this morning, would we not lose our grip? Would we just surrender to Jesus' grip? See, the firmness of Jesus' grip is to protect you and I. And it produces a pursuit of Him in all that we do. And at this time, would you know that Jesus' grip is on your life? And out of Him holding on to you, would you run a great race? Would you press on in spite of obstacles? Would you cross the finishing line to obtain the prize? You see, we go to verse 13 and 14 and it says, brethren, I do not count myself. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What an amazing passage for you and I is this. We get this visual representation of how we are to live in this space. Like we've all heard that saying, your vision mirrors smaller for a reason, not to look back, but rather to look forward. Well, when you're running in this space, would you move in a forward motion? It gives you and I the freedom to move and to live because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And Paul says this, he says, don't look back. Don't look back. You're not going in that direction. You're going in that direction. Don't look back. You're not going backwards. Now I say, would you press on? Would you press on into all that God has? You see, there's a prize that's waiting for you and I. He's also saying this, don't let our focus. Well, let our focus be on forward momentum, not on prior mistakes. Would you take your prior mistakes to the cross this morning? Would you take your shame, your guilt, your sin to the cross today? Because God is all about you and I walking in a place of forward momentum. Don't get stuck. Take it to the cross. And this morning, the one last thing that I'm going to talk about. You know, and for those that know me, it's one thing that I've probably, I don't always like about schools. I'm a teacher. And one thing that I haven't liked has been this shift. Maybe over the last 10 years, this shift towards this thing called a participation ribbon. You know, everyone getting a participation ribbon. I hate those things. You either come first, second or third, or you don't. Simple. And if you didn't, you did it because you weren't faster than those people. Like, I never got a participation ribbon for running last. It just didn't happen. They would say, you came last. And it's the same with this race that we're running. There's no participation ribbon. You don't get to heaven. And as you're walking through heaven, God says, here's your participation ribbon. He doesn't do that. Like, when I'm running in a race, I don't give a flip. Or whoever it is, I don't give a flip if they come what they come. I want to know, did they run their best? Did Jeremy run his best? I don't care if he came. Well, there's only one position to come, it's first. As you're running your race, run as if you're going to come first. Because it's the joy that awaits. How we move in this space determines this. Is it we don't have a participation ribbon. You know, God doesn't have a, you know, he'd be a great designer. He doesn't have a designed participation ribbon and thank you for participating in this race. No. What he actually has is he has a prize. A prize. He doesn't give out participation. The prize is a weighty prize. It's his eternal glory. And by doing that, I feel like you can kind of set up this culture of mediocrity by saying we're going to water everything down to try and make people feel good about themselves. No. You either come first or second or third. And in God, you're racing for it. It's not like, did you participate? No. It's you're going for a prize, an eternal prize. That has weight, it has value. You see, he gave absolutely everything for you and I. And Paul is saying, would you give absolutely everything in these span of years? Because eternity is a very, very long time. Don't just participate. See, the prize is awaiting for you and I. It's the upward call of God. I'm grateful for this morning. Is a prize, is eternity in heaven. With God forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can't even comprehend that at different times. So we run for a prize. And so often we just get so focused on the here and now that we forget about eternity. I know I do. I might be the only one. We get so obsessed with these span of years. What are we doing in these span of years and how we're being viewed and all of these other different considerations that we take on that we actually forget about this moment right here when we shift, when our life shifts from one domain to another. The reality is, we give a lot of focus, don't we, to this. We do. But we don't really give a lot of consideration to the long part. Is that we only get one shot at this part. I don't know when I'm going to breathe my last breath. But I know when I do, my this part is over and done with. Like I'm 35, so I'm maybe there. Maybe. I could be there. I don't know. I don't know my expiry date. Maybe halfway. Halfway maybe. We don't get a second chance. We don't come back. Is that we need to live each day ready. Because we never know our end date. We never know. We don't know when I'm going to breathe my last. But we're going to be ready. We need to be ready. You see, my third observation is what I do in this part is actually going to determine where I am in this part. You see, Paul is saying this. He's saying, church, would you and I just be all in? Would you and I be like a poker player? Probably not the best analogy, but forgive me, it's the only one I could actually think of. We're like a poker player. We get all of our chips and we say, I'm all in. I'm all in. Would you go all in for Jesus? He said, I'm going to press on. I'm going to reach the prize of the upward call of God in my life. I'm going to invest everything I have in this space for the glory of God. That's why I want you to know that today, any investment of your time or in the purposes of God in this space is not wasted. You're actually investing into your life and someone else's eternity. Would you give it all? You see, in verse 20 it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven. You know, like when you go on a holiday, you might go overseas or you might go somewhere. Fid and Rach like to holiday, so I imagine they've got a passport and they get their passport out and they say, you're a citizen of this location. You're a citizen of Australia. You're just passing through that location, wherever it be, maybe Fiji, I don't know. You show up at Fiji and you get your passport stamped and you're passing through. Well, each of us have actually got a passport with the citizenship of heaven. And right now we're just like, when we were born, it's like God put a stamp on our passport. We're passing through. Our home will always be heaven. Our citizenship will always be heaven. You know, like, and I don't know about you, when I go on a holiday, or if I'm away from my home for a couple of weeks or a week, when I go away for work and I have to sleep in a motel room bed, you do that for a couple of nights and then you get back in your bed, it's that feeling of, I'm home. Oh, yeah. How good is this? I imagine that's what it's going to be like for each of us. Is that right now we're on a holiday, but our citizenship is heaven. That's why I'm full of joy. That's why I'm so grateful for the cross this morning. It gives us eternity with Him. Eternity with Him. Death could not hold Him. And He raised. He was risen those 3 days later. And He sends His Holy Spirit. And it dwells in you and I, and that we could have this victory that He speaks of. Will the band please come? Speaks of this victory as each of us are recipients of His victory for eternity. The God says that it's this one decision that you and I would make in this span of our life will actually determine this span. This span. And so this morning I want to ask a question. Because the decision you make will determine this span. Where are you in your walk with Christ? You know, like you may not know the answer to every question in this area. Like I even found out, Tony and I were last night, we were reading the Bible and we were reading verses around heaven, and we had some questions we were asking one another, and we were talking about heaven and hell and then life and death. We didn't know all the answer to every question we asked. We explored and we looked at and we researched and we were just asking questions as we were talking this through. But we did know this, is that the decision we make in this aspect determines this aspect. This eternity aspect, this long part. You know, like a short part, long part. And this morning, I know, like Nick spoke about it in communion, because of the cross, because of what he's done on the cross, we have access to eternal presence of Jesus. We just have to say, God, would you come? Would you intervene? Would you change? This morning as we finish, you may be lost, but you don't realize you're lost. Would you come and have a chat? Come and have a chat, and we can talk about this part and how it impacts this part. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that all that you endured because of the joy that awaits. We praise you this morning, we worship you this morning, and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for all that it symbolizes, all that it means, all that it represents. Holy Spirit, would you help us day by day to live our lives with the end point in mind? Will we not get so caught up in the now, but rather in the end game, the game that counts? We praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.